This is Stu Strauss, the Woodsman, and you're listening to Inspirato Projecto.
What you are about to hear here on Frere is taking place at Roseville Hobby. They got a lot of trains there. A lot of trains. This is recorded on March 31st, 2023, when Yachtly Crew was out there in Roseville at Goldfield with their two nights. And this was before we had to be back at the location by a certain time. So I wandered around town and I stopped in this hobby shop. I've always liked the idea of miniatures, or some like to say miniatures. I've always loved the idea of that, and looking around at the various trains and this is my interview with one of the guys who works there. And once it gets going, it's funny. You know, some people, they're just not used to strangers asking them a whole bunch of information. Maybe even information that, or like specific questions they're just not used to. They're just not used to answering. So I thought it was kind of, interesting to hear his answers to this stuff. And if you're a train enthusiast, you're really going to get a kick out of this, I think. You might know exactly what he's talking about. Before we head off in that direction, first of all, thank you to Stu Strauss from Twin Peaks for opening up the show. And what we're about to hear next is a very special Henry D. Horace fun fact. All right, thanks for listening to Inspirato Projecto.
Freight hopping or train hopping origins. In the United States, freight hopping became a common means of transportation following the Civil War. As the railroads began pushing westward, especially among migrant workers who became known as hobos, it continued to be widely used by those unable to afford other transportation, especially during times of widespread economic dislocation, such as the Great Depression. That's another fun fact.
Like teach classes and stuff on how to how to put them together? No.
No. There's some places that does teach classes. Some of the, there's a guy that used to come to the swap meet taught classes on scenery, but I had last year when he was here, he didn't do anything like that. So I don't know if he'll do it this year. We don't know until we see. You know.
I'm imagining there must be a lot of people who are architects who get into this kind of thing, right?
There are some architects and some of the stuff, and this is people just go out and do what they want, mm-hmm. the way they do it. I know there's one guy built a mountain this tall.
Whoa.
Out of molds and things like that, and that wooden sitting stuff, and it turned out outstanding. If you go on to the Wooden Sitting's website, you see a lot of stuff that people have done. You mm-hmm. know? Some outstanding layouts and understand how to do that, use their stuff, and also very well done. On the national, there's one held every year, a national, and all the manufacturers show up, but Winsink shows up and they have little classes where they show you how they use their product.
That's amazing.
But you have to go to nationals to see that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the only way it's done, you know.
Are there a lot of these like train conventions that kind of happen yearly?
The national ones usually held every year, and it's a different city and state.
Mm-hmm.
There are regions, these swap meets where some of them are held, where you can go. Like there one back east recently, a month ago, Anforce. It was over in their area, and it's a big HON gauge. All those gauges were there. There's one last weekend, it was in Denver, a small group in Denver held one. And somebody told me there's another one gonna be held someplace else. I don't know where I have to ask again, but they are actually held in different places, and different clubs host them and things like that. You know?
Mm.
So if you go online, there's quite a few clubs in Sacramento, and there's quite a few clubs in the Bay Area, and there's quite a few clubs in LA.
So I can imagine that there's probably quite a few different companies that, you know, maybe this company focuses on the 1920s type of buildings, right? One that focuses on maybe the 1960s
really,
or something,
they don't
right?
They do that. Woodsings does 19... Some of the buildings go back to the 1940s, and some go up to 50 and 60s and all. So, but most of the buildings here are 1960, 1950, 1940, and some of the other world. There's one over there that goes back to 18-something, and it's still standing. Anyhow, there's all kinds of... You go to Marysville, you have their old downtown. You go to Sacramento, you have the old town. It's 1940, 1950, 1918s. Things like that, they're still standing, you know, so.
Well, I was thinking in terms of the model, you know, in terms of the little buildings that are built for the models,
most,
right?
Most of the buildings are roughly 1940 or 50 or 60 going backwards. You know?
Gotcha.
There are companies that do 1800s, but they're all, some are wooden kits, most of them, and some are brick. So they go that far back. They don't go back as far as they do. The Cowboys Indians, they don't go that far back, but there's a book where it does Civil War vehicles and things like that. They go that far back in the Civil War. But the buildings in the 1800s, you can do Civil War with those, you know.
Because I can imagine some of these people who have, you know, a fascination with a particular time period, they you know, I can imagine that someone could really want to get into, you know, specific eras.
But if you do that, you're basically stuck. You can't go anywhere. If you do from, say, 1950s, say, sample, after that, you can't go 60s, you can't go 40s, because everything's 1960. So you're stuck. So most people have a broad span of way they do things, so they get a variety of things. They stick from, like, for example, 1960, 50s, 40s, and maybe a little 30s, but very little, you know.
Do you think there are a lot of people out there who are trying to sort of design their childhood neighborhoods?
Some of them,
and
yes.
Stuff?
Some of them do, yes.
Have you ever met any of those people?
One.
Oh!
And he is back east. He's dealing with his little, where he grew up at, his little area, up towards Agnes. The area is called, but it's all the way back east somewhere, and he's done very well with it.
That's cool.
Yeah. So some people do it, some people don't. You know.
So what do you think he does? He just matches up old photos he has, and
yes.
Do you think he builds the actual buildings?
I think he builds the buildings and things like that the way he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So he may scavenge one building to build another building, and vice versa. So it varies. Most people we see have grown, you know, 50s, 60s, 40s. Some 30s, but very little 30s, But you go to Boston and all those towns, and all you see is big skyscrapers with big condos, a kind of condo thing where housing is all you see, the housing down the street on both sides. It's like you go to LA, you see nothing but downtown old buildings that date back to 20s, 30s, and 1800s, and things like that, you know. It varies on what you want.
October 22?
Do you think there are people who, because I was imagining too, with people who like fantasy type or, you know, oriented type stuff, do you think there's ones with like little elves or trolls, you know, things like that?
I've never seen that kind of stuff, you know. There are people who do, will buy some of our trees, bushes for Dungeons and Dragons and war games and things like that, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go that far.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that do what they call shadow boxes, where they build little scenes in this shoe box, and they'll do fantasy things like that and all, you know, but that's about it.
How many different companies do you think are out there that are building miniature, you know, whether it's houses or people?
You're looking probably over a dozen at least.
So basically only roughly a dozen. Okay,
more.
So not...
You don't know, because you have to go to these swap meets and big shows to see what kind of people show up and what kind of and what kind of stuff shows up, you know. So it varies on a lot of things. You know?
Have you seen stuff at any of these, like, I don't know, what do they call them, conventions, shows?
Yeah, I've been to several.
So when you go to these, do you, what are some of the things that you think are have most shocked you that you've seen? Where you go, holy cow, I never thought someone would build something like that.
When people do a scene that's animated.
Mm.
That's very, very interesting how they do animated stuff.
How do they do that?
It's with motors and cables and things like that. You know, there's scenes that people do a scene of a train wreck or a scene of a car hits a train or airplane hits a train or something like that. They'll do scenes like that. Small planes, not no big stuff, but mm-hmm. little private planes and things like that. Or they'll do a forest scene of a. I saw one year ago where. This girl was walking a bear as a dog and through the forest. And there was another one where the coyotes were chasing these deer, things like that, you know, scenes like that. One guy had a, what is it called? It was 1800s and he was pulling a buck bed with he was pulling a little carriage, and it was 1800 with a balloon stack, a turn of the century train and things like that. It was a little scene like that, crossing the railroad tracks. There's those little gates, knowing this is the railroad where you're crossing the tracks and all. That's about it.
What's the biggest spread of something like that have you seen before?
Down San Diego? There's in Bobo Park, there are 1-inch scale, 2 HOs, 1 O gauge, 1 G scale, 1 Lionel, and all of them are pretty good size. The 2 HOs and the N scale are probably the biggest.
Mm.
Other ones are smaller, but they're in one building by themselves.
An entire building?
Entire building, in the basement. You know, it's actually 1, 2... Probably 4 to 5 clubs in one building, you know. You have to pay a small little fee to go in to see it, you know. But it helps pay for the lights and the electricity to run things. And there's always somebody there in one of the clubs if you have a question, try to answer your question. They usually have trains running, both N-scale, HO, and all the other clubs have something running. Some are automated, so they run all their routers. So there's one guy that maintains them, but the other workers are not there that day at work. And there's scenes where they show you how the guys are working this one scene, building the rail and things like that.
Wow.
And most of the clubs are done, exception of one of the HOs is still working on things, and N-scales, I think, are all done, you know. And the O gauge is done, and the G scale is very small. It's a little oval, you know. And the O scale, Lano scale is basically, I think it's done too, you know. It's just this small HO one is still got work they're working on. So I advise you to take the train down one day to San Diego, go to Balboa Park, get the number 7 bus, and just go right in there and pay your, what the fee is now, but pay the small fee. Go check it out. I think you'd be impressed. You know, it's open almost every day, as far as I know. They may have some kind of hours, but when I was down there, it was every day they were open. I didn't go every day, one day, but you know. But there's some clubs out there. There's also a club here in Sacramento on the old Grant Road and near Rogo Road. They have a good-sized club.
Mm.
And the guys in here have two. They have a club here in Roseville. It's down the street, and it's called NHO, and they have working layouts and all. But they're still working on their stuff.
Now, do you have special trains that you really want to either see in real life or?
No, they some of us mostly working on the. Layout and things like that, but they do have run series. And they have certain days that everybody has to work on certain things, and there's some days that you just run certain time periods they want to run and things like that. And all. put berries.
Mm-hmm. What, like, are you also, like, because I noticed there are all kinds of different trains here, but, you know, these are modeled in, off of ones in real life, I assume,
yes, most
right?
of them are, yes.
So are there any particular ones that, you know, like the Bigfoot of trains that you've never seen out there in the real world?
No,
that
I've
maybe
seen
you want
almost everything that's been ever made.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Back in the 80s, they brought the ICE train in and they ran it down in L.A. for a while. So the L.A. people had guys that we'd like to do this and all. It was pulling the Amtrak cars with special people and then talking about it and all. There was also another, they did a special for another train. I don't remember, it was a passenger train, it was called, but things like that. I've seen things, those things, and they're very fancy and very costly to maintain and go and ride them, you know. And you can get, you know, people that have business cards, you can, if you know the right people, you can get in the business cards. It's very rare.
There's a really cool place in, I think it's Glendale. It's near Griffith Park out there. It's called Travel Town.
Yeah,
have you been
there? Yes.
It's fascinating.
There's also another one out there by, actually two more. One out there by LA Fairgrounds. There's a small little steam engine there. If you go out to the city of Paris, there's a Paris Railroad Museum out there. And it's a little older than Travel Town, I think, in some things. They have a lot of trolleys, buses, diesels, this kind of thing. And they have some steam engines and things like that. And all. That'd be worth going to. The other one, it's in Fairgrounds, it's all static, but nothing runs, but it's all static. That's where the big boy came from, is that. That came from that area. UP found out where all the big boys are, and this was the only one. It wouldn't cost as much to run and maintain. So they run that now, you know.
My dad had told me he had, you know, growing up, he frequently had thought about wanting to be a conductor on a train, you know, having that kind of lifestyle. Yeah. Did you ever have a job on a train?
Nope. I actually got to drive a train twice. I got to go to a thing where they train the engineers. Got to see that and run that. The guy said, "You're very good at that. You should apply for a job." He says, "Nope."
Oh, my gosh.
I said, "No." He says, "Why?" I said, "Because I want the headaches. I mean, there's a lot of things people don't realize what goes into a train. Just like the same thing goes into a flying airplane. It's a lot of work."
Wow.
And you have to be very smart, on the ball with those kinds of things. You just can't play around. You have in an airplane, you have thousands of people's lives against the same. You have thousands of boxcars behind you and people worried about the boxcar getting from point A to point B, you know. So there's a lot of things people don't realize what goes on with this stuff.
It must be so fascinating, though, to work, you know, in the train industry and to be able to see all this landscape that nobody ever really gets a chance, you know, to see.
Yeah, you know, you can, if you ride Amtrak, you get to see most of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done that a lot too. So, you know, you can see 90% of it. You know, and I've walked parts of tracks in certain areas. So you can see a lot of that stuff. You know, you don't have to always ride trains. You know,
so what are those things called that? My mom was telling me my Uncle Arnie once had a job doing this thing. You know, the little, like you'll see in movies, it's like a, you know, two people, they go, you know, there's one person on the one side. It's kind of like a...
Oh, handcar.
Is that what it's called?
Handcar, yeah.
Yeah. What are those used for? What do you do with those?
Some of them are used to go from a small part in the yard, small sightings and things like that. You know, it takes two people to operate them. Five years ago, there was one here at the fair, and you had to do a certain amount to it, and you got points, but they haven't brought it back. It belonged to the Railroad Museum in Sacramento, and they have one, you know.
Was it, because my mom said my Uncle Arnie had a job doing it. What would be the job of that? I mean,
he probably was an inspector, and he took that thing down a certain amount of track to inspect the track and all.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Or so that tests it out. They're just testing it out with it.
Make sure the track is in good shape. Nowadays they use trucks or speeders, and speeders are hard to find anyhow.
What's a speeder?
It's a thing with a little lawnmower motor on it. It runs very slow and very loud. You know, so that's when they do track maintenance over here in UP, they have a bunch of those on those things, checking the track and putting down tracks. It's kind of an interesting little thing to watch. You know?
It is interesting. So you're saying the speeder is actually very slow?
Yes, very slow. I mean, you can get them up to a certain speed, but they are very slow. And it's only, what, 2, 3, 4 cycle engine on those things. And usually one person or two people. They have two versions.
Mm.
They also have a bigger version where it's 4 or 5 guys. You know, it looks like a car, but it's a mock-up of another car kind of thing.
Do they ever deliver mail on those things?
No.
No?
They used to deliver mail with a little flag that they'd put up, and they would... So the guy would go by the train and catch it and go. You know?
Oh.
You know, so that's what they do. And there's some places, I know a place out in, if it's still being used, it's on the old Skunk Row. They deliver their mail because they're 102 feet off the main line, and they use that to get their mail. You know, their mail and their newspaper is what they get.
That's incredible.
Yep.
Wow. Well, you taught me a lot.
Well, there's a lot of things. If you go to the Railroad Museum, you learn a lot of stuff, you know. If you go to, and there's several museums around it that have that kind of stuff. You can talk to people about it, and they tell you a little history about it. If you ever go out to Promontory Point, where you see those two steam engines that did the Golden Spike, you go out there one day, it'd be very nice.
Mm.
And they have the facsimiles of those guys out there. They're not the original ones, but at least they have ones that's made up where they do it, show you how they did it all, you know.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I've been walking around in the aisles just taking little videos here and there of what's up on the walls, because it's just so fascinating to me. And
where's that? Some of the stations are turned into the museums where they have pictures of the trains that used to run through here and things like that, but not all the stations are open, you know. You have to look for the right ones.
Well, I saw that one down there. What's
over that way?
Oh, it's that way.
Yeah,
that black one?
No, it's not black.
Well, there's one in one of these directions. I forgot what direction it was.
There's a train car. There's an engine.
It's just parked still.
Yeah, it's down that way then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a rotary snowplow. It's for getting snow off the track.
Oh, okay.
They were just using those this weekend, two weekends ago.
Oh, they still use them?
Yeah. You know, that they gave this one to the city, but they still have about four or five left that they test to get the snow kicked out of. They have what they call Jordan spreaders and get rid of the snow out of the way and all that stuff. So they're still being used. They have to be used. They have to be maintained, just like anything else.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you have a phone, go to YouTube and you can type in rotary snowplow.
Rotary snowplow?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Wowzers, huh? That was chock full of surprises. Never knew which direction that was going to go in, huh? Wow, thank you so much for sticking around. Thank you for listening to that that interview. I remember I saw Station Agent, and it had the fella from Game of Thrones. Dinklage was in this movie. It was an independent film, Station Agent. It was about train enthusiasts. And ever since then, I realized, wow, there are some people who really, really, really dig trains. I've always loved that idea of being on a train and just seeing all these different landscapes. And, my dad had dreamt about it. But who knows what kind of interesting stories those train engineers and conductors have from riding the rails all those years. Alex Basile, by the way, I did an interview with her. She gave me some extraordinary information about what it was like for her to train hop, to ride the freights. So I'm going to put that in the description for this episode, actually. I'm going to put a link for that into this episode.
so you can listen to what that is like firsthand. Basically living like a hobo, but, you know, she had a home to go back to. But you hear the whole thing. It's incredible. I'm going to interview her again for further information, that's for sure. Coming up next, we have an intriguing question by Man Behind the Machine. Thank you for listening to Inspirato Projecto. Hang on to your hats.
Inspirato, it's Man here. We have the technology. Been doing some shows on this topic. We have the technology. AI, metaverse, VR, holograms, augmented reality. What's your technology? What do you have that you hold on to? Relics in the past, and what are you excited about the future? We got some new AI images I've been doing, and simulations, war game simulations, strategy games, and stuff that I haven't even released yet. Training the machine on, you know, global thermonuclear warfare, exactly from the war games. So what's your technology? You listen to Man Behind the Machine on Inspirato Projecto Radio. We have the technology.
First of all, I just want to correct myself. I think I was calling it Roseville Hobbies. This is actually called Railroad Hobbies in Roseville. That's the name of the shop. Now, Man Behind the Machine, in terms of technology, what do I hold on to? I still have a Super 8mm camera my dad used to shoot us with. Back in the day, opening up presents on Christmas morning. I also have another Super 8mm camera. I have I think it's a Tascam, a port of 5, maybe, 4-track cassette recording device, 4-track device. I've been thinking about making an album with it. Been thinking a lot about it. I've made albums with it in the past. I've been making a lot of AI art. I saw your AI art. You're making some great AI art. So is Jason Carr. You guys are cooking on that. I've been making a lot. I just haven't been releasing it a lot. I've got a whole bunch of Jimi Hendrixes that I made. I put up a couple on my Instagram page. But I got a lot. Got a lot of UFO type stuff. I made so many different trains. The cover of this episode is AI. I put in Space Train. Riding along the Milky Way with colorful stars, and came out with lots of different things, and so I had to choose one for the cover. I've been getting such a kick out of that AI stuff. Been playing with ChatGPT, another one called Agent GPT, and another one called Huggy Chat or something. I always like to ask these things about myself, Kurt Clendenin, just to see what it'll come up with. I've come up with a lot of interesting things that they say I've created. And I think I said in another episode, I feel like these AIs are giving us a glimpse into another parallel universe version of us. Today I was in a studio, Chris Lord Algy. He's mixing the Yachtly Crew album. We were in his studio today. And he's got this old, he fires up this floppy disk, and it shows, it saves all the settings for each of the songs that he does. And he saves them on this floppy disk. He puts the floppy disk into this thing, and it shows on this thing. It looks like Atari 2600. It's amazing. These guys have come so far. This is the same studio where the, NWA records were made and stuff. And so they got this old technology. It looks like something out of like that first Tron. So I love seeing that. That was really cool. It was an interview, by the way, for Spectrum One, the cable network. And I guess they got lots of viewers and stuff. So the lady who interviewed us just loves Yacht Rock. And we got a chance to shoot there at the studio. I thought that was a lot of fun. So I was surrounded by lots of technology today. I love video games so much, but I've stayed away from them. That's why. Stay away from them because I'm too addicted to them. I'd be playing all the new
all the new games that are out there. I was playing Nintendo Switch with Pauly Shores. We were in, we stayed over in Del Mar over the weekend. We played at a place called The Sound. And Pauly and I shared a hotel room the first night, and he's got one of those Switches, and he plugged it into the TV there at the hotel. We played Mario Kart on the TV. It was so addictive. He's like, oh, I gotta go to sleep. I go, come on, just one more, come on, one more, please. Oh my gosh. It's so addictive. I remember when I got this Commodore 64 as a kid growing up, I could not stop playing LucasArts games. Maniac Mansion, I loved that theme song. It went something like that. Maybe I'll include the song on here right after I answer this question. So thank you so much, Man Behind the Machine, for calling in. And who do we have here closing us out? Who do we have closing us out here? Oh, Martin Schmidt, the Sock Monkey guy. Thank you so much, Martin Schmidt. But first, I think I'm going to try to find that Maniac Mansion theme song on YouTube or something so you can hear it.
Hi, this is the Sock Monkey guy, and you're listening to Inspirato Projecto.